You're listening to a sermon from New Harvest Church in Salem, Oregon. We believe that you were created for connection to Christ and a community of his followers. This sermon is an extension of our desire to become more like Christ by engaging God's word within our weekly gatherings. If you are in the area, we'd love for you to join us on a Sunday. You can learn more about New Harvest and our ministries at newharvestch.org.
I've spent the last 13 weeks, or 13 of the last weeks, at home watching through the online service, which has been just great. But how wonderful it is to be here. And we know that many others want to be here, and it won't be long. So we look forward to those days. Amen? As Tyler said a little bit ago, these have been kind of fearful times. You turn on the evening news, and you really don't want to turn on the evening news because it's bad story after bad story, and fear and anger and illness and death, and it's been a troubling time. But I find myself oftentimes wondering, is God trying to do some good things through this as well? After all, he is Lord, and he could stop this, you know, with a word. And I wanted to give you an interesting little insight that I shared with the prison team a couple nights ago. But for those of you who don't know me, I work with Prison Fellowship, which is a ministry throughout the United States and around the world. And one of the things Prison Fellowship does is we make Bibles available to prisoners for free. All they have to do is send a request in, and Prison Fellowship will ship them a Bible. And the last several years, we've been averaging requests each year of about 3,000 Bibles. However, with this whole coronavirus pandemic, that has really ticked up. I think men and women behind bars have really sensed just this new need to examine life. What is it all about? What matters in life? What, you know, what does life hold, and what's beyond life? And because of that, instead of seeing 3,000 Bibles probably being the target this year, we've given away over 12,000 Bibles since March. And so you can see that God's cultivating hearts even in the midst of this pandemic, which I think is something that we can actually praise him for in the midst of it all. I'm going to pray in just a second, but I want to share two passages of scripture I'm sure you're all familiar with that, again, hearken us back to prayer. One is 2 Corinthians 7:14, and I'm going to just summarize it, but God says that if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, he says, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Similarly, 1 Peter 5:6-7 says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, casting all of your anxieties upon him, because he cares for you. God calls us to be humble, to pray, to seek him during these difficult times. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we come before you right now thanking you that you are very much present with us here in this auditorium, as well as in all the homes that are viewing, or wherever people happen to be viewing around the world. And God, we thank you for that, that you can be all those different places with them and right here with us. God, you created all things, and you are before all things, and in you all things hold together. Righteousness and justice, God, are the foundation of your throne, and in a time when we cry out for justice, it's good to know that that's the foundation of your throne and who you are. Lord, we confess that while you are a great God, we so often stray from you. We tend to be selfish, looking out for our self-interests, self-focused, trying to gratify ourselves rather than looking to you. And our words and our actions so often wound and hurt others. And Lord, we ask your forgiveness for that. Lord, we thank you for the cross, where you paid the price for our forgiveness, and for all that that has accomplished for us. We thank you for your care and your unfailing loving kindness. And we thank you for the truth that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, Lord, we thank you for these things, and we want to especially this morning lift to you a couple of requests, one being that you would heal the wounds among us, in our homes, in our city, and in our nation. Lord, comfort us in the loss of family members who have been lost to death, legal issues, or estrangement. Lord, draw our hearts near to you. Help us to reflect the hope of Christ to others during this very difficult time. And Lord, may the words that Barry speaks to us from your word draw us closer to you and equip us so that we could be your ambassadors. Lord, we love you and we lift this service to you and all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Welcome to New Harvest. Glad that we can do this together. And the continuation of ministry through New Harvest that happens in this place as we launched last week, and then in home after home after home in Salem and Kaiser and beyond. So grateful that we get to keep doing this. So welcome. I'm Barry Brown, and I'm the senior pastor. And the first thing I'd like to do is I want to introduce you to a new friend, a friend that I just met a couple of months ago. He's been doing so well. I want you to meet him. He has something of recognition today. He's going to receive a successful completion from Prison Fellowship Academy, and his name is Dan. Dan, come on up. Give him a warm welcome, huh? Yes. I've been communicating with Dan for a long time, and we were all anticipating him being here with us. He's coming right up here. See his, there you go. And Dan just launching his life in a new and a fresh way and trusting in God and God to help him. He has been doing so many great things in your life, and it's because of his faith and trust in God as he transitions into life and making such a difference. It says here, Dan, for the successful completion of Prison Fellowship Academy, and then the verse, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Signed by Mark Hubble. There it is. All right.
Thank you, man.
Okay. God bless. Okay.
Woo.
Good job. Right. Yes, and if you need a car, talk to Dan. Yes. Well, this is an interesting transition. This is my first opportunity to speak to the group and to speak to the camera at the same time. For 3 months, I've been looking at a camera and just saying hi to all of you out there. And now I get to say hello to more people and everything. And I'm not sure if that's easier or not, but it's what it is. And I'm glad that we get to do this together. And I really felt convinced that June should be the month where we learn about prayer more so. And that our theme is pray. And we've been talking about the P-R-A and now Y today. The P standing for pause, where we really settle our hearts. Hasn't that been helpful? I'm such a on-the-go kind of person. When I get to prayer, I say, let's go, let's pray. Okay. And so to slow down and center, that's been a helpful step. And remember, relax, breathe, whisper. Slow down, Barry. Okay. The pause. And then rejoice. Marvel of who God is and what he's done for us with thanksgiving, using the Psalms, writing out our prayer of praise, telling God how much we love him. Rejoice. And last week, Tyler spoke on asking. And so much of God's word is about asking. And asking is connecting with God in such a way as that we understand his heart for the world and that we pray his will to be done on earth. And we think of asking prayer as action. It's ministry. Prayer is effective. It's powerful. The Bible is clear about that. So we've been doing these messages on prayer, and we lead to this point. And this is the point that I think is the culmination. I think it's, you know, I say this a lot, but I think it's the number one thing. And it's the why. And I have a title, Yes, Lord. Behind that is yield. So here we go. I'm glad that we're together. There's a statement in the Bible that might feel like a typo. And it's this. Have you seen this? It's going to be on the screen here. He is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. That's quite a statement, isn't it? And it kind of gets our thoughts going. God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. And as I think about that, I wonder about that imagine word. I think to myself, is that a typo? Because I have quite an imagination. And I was kind of thinking about just how mind-stretching that is. Well, it reminded me of some statements that you might read on a newsline, a headline for on news, in a newspaper or whatever. And I was reading a couple of these, and I thought that maybe they were a typo because they seemed sort of strange. Like this one: miners refuse to work after death. That was a headline, and there. How about this one? Teacher strikes, idle kids. Something. How about this? Something went wrong in a jet crash, experts say. You're getting it. Okay, there you go. They're laughing hysterically in the room. Okay, so you in your living rooms, you can be doing the same thing. It's just over the top humor. Here we go. Include your children when baking cookies. It's a headline. I've read it. It's right there. This one, I don't. Can this really be in a newspaper? New study of obesity looks for larger test group. I don't know. It was real in the headlines there and that kind of thing. Local high school dropouts cut in half. Ugh. You know, these are headlines, I'm telling you. And this one is hard. This one's hard to believe. But it said this: kids make nutritious snacks. I don't know. I don't think you can. Anyway, I'm just thinking in these headlines that there was a typo or something wasn't quite right. Like, I wonder about immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. That's hard to believe, isn't it? But here we go. In the context of this marvelous word, is this beautiful prayer. My favorite prayer in the Bible. I'm not exaggerating. You say, well, sure, you're a pastor, but I'm not. This is my favorite prayer. And in a series on pray, we should look at my favorite prayer, huh? Ephesians chapter 3. Here we go. Ephesians chapter 3. It's going to be on the screen for you, but I'm going to read it. You're going to open your Bibles as you do, and we're going to look at Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 21. You'll see how marvelous it is with me as I read. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, all the saints, it is literal, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that it's at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen and amen. That's a great prayer, you have to admit. And it's inspiring to me, and I've chosen it today for the purpose of what is behind the prayer, what is in the prayer. You see the Apostle Paul praying this for others. But you know what I think first happens? It's praying it for yourself. You see, sometimes we quickly skip to what maybe we think others need. But these words, they fit for me. I need these words. And so, first of all, I want you to consider praying these words for yourself. Now, I think it's the culmination of how God wants to use prayer. I think this is it. I believe that one of God's greatest desires when it comes to prayer is to change us. That's what I think. He wants to change us. I believe that prayer is transformational. Why do I believe that? Because in the Bible, there's many examples of people praying. And guess what happened when they prayed? They were changed. Like Abraham. In Genesis 18, he was changed through prayer. Jacob, in Genesis 32, he was changed in prayer. Exactly. And then there's other examples like Joshua and Joshua 5 or Nehemiah, probably the whole book, because Nehemiah was quite a man of prayer. But in chapter 1, we see how God is changing Nehemiah through prayer. And it doesn't stop there. If you read Luke 10, you'll see Mary was changed by prayer. And if you go to Acts 16, you'll see that Paul was changed by prayer. And if you read the book of Revelation, you'll know that John was changed by prayer. And if you read Matthew 26, you're going to see Jesus was changed by prayer. So you have these examples, and they are examples for us. They tell us that prayer can change you and me. And I think it's one of the most neglected aspects of prayer. We go to prayer to tell God what we want him to do. But now, the first prayer would be how he could work in us. Now look at this prayer. The first thing that caught my attention was this word kneel. For this reason, I kneel. And you know what that means, but I bet if I asked you, how many of you kneel when you pray? I bet it would be very few of you. But don't feel bad, because it really isn't the main posture used for prayer. Even in the Bible, the main posture for prayer is standing. You say, well, what about sitting? Well, you can do that too, but kneeling, not as often. But what does kneeling mean? Well, let's ask Ezra when he heard about the intermarriages of the God's people with the pagan nations and so on. You know, in Ezra 9, it says that he fell to his knees and stretched out his hands in confession to God when he heard this. He was moved. How about Daniel? Daniel's confronted by the satraps and the leaders that were jealous of him and said, we're going to get him with his religion. But what did Daniel do? He kept on praying, right? And in Daniel 6, we read he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day praying. Daniel. And then there was Paul. When Paul said goodbye to the leaders in Ephesus, the statement in the Bible was that he knelt and prayed with them all. Think of kneeling and this prayer. We're really getting to the passion of prayer, the emotion of prayer, this strong and deep desire of prayer. This reveals to me the significance of what prayer can be in your life, the depth of prayer and what it can mean in your life. Kneeling is a picture of submission. It is a posture of worship, and it is a sense of surrender, right? So kneeling, that's first. That caught my attention, and that kind of launches us into this within the idea, even as Tyler shared a few things about this as we were singing, about the Father. And it says every family, and the way that it's said there is it's everyone adopted into the family by faith derives its name. We get a name when we enter the family of God. And the name could generically be a child of God, but there's a sense of such privilege and identity with having connection to the Father through Jesus, his Son. And this privilege, this identity, is that we have access to God. We're invited into conversation with God. And we read that in Hebrews. Hebrews tells us we have access to the throne of God's grace. We have access to the God who can do immeasurably more. This kind of privilege and the identity of being a child of God elevates the significance of prayer in our lives, because we go right to Abba, Father. And that's so good. There it is. And so we've been emphasizing the sense of address in this month of focusing on prayer. We've been emphasizing almost every Sunday about how we can go to the Father, Abba, Father. And so that caught my attention. But really, the heart of this prayer is found in this little statement, inner being. Inner being, it's referred to as soul, our heart, the spirit, small s, or the part of you and me that lasts forever, our insides, the inner being. And when it says inner being, it says the spirit will give you power, strength in your inner being. And then verse 17, along with that, Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And you might think those are two separate statements. They're not. They go right after, they're hand in hand. The Spirit of Christ lives in our hearts, and he strengthens us within, expanding, really, expanding our hearts, expanding our souls. And how does he expand it? What is the sense here? God's influence in my life expands my soul. God's love, we read about that. God's love expands my soul. Power from God, presence of God, dynamic, transformational, really. Well, I was thinking about my life without Jesus. And without Jesus, my life looked like this balloon. It was empty and it was sagging. There wasn't really, I was dead inside. And then, seeing my need for Jesus, I put my faith in him. And he blew into my life. Just like that. And I had life, and there was just a new hope and joy in my life and everything like that. And I just kind of coast the rest of my life, right? No, because I leak. So I kept on needing and realizing and connecting with God and what he can do in my life. And I still would leak a little. And then I turned to him. And that relationship with God through his son Jesus by the Spirit within expanded my soul little by little. And the Bible says, be filled with the Spirit continuously. So that's the idea. And some blows are better than others. And so, and sometimes I drift. It's a bad deal. You see what I mean? And this is the possibility to be, you know, filled on the inside with him. There we go. And that is a floating life. filled with the Holy Spirit through the avenue of prayer. In Acts, they were waiting on the promise that Jesus had given them. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, Jesus told them. And they were waiting in prayer in the upper room. And then at Pentecost, the Spirit came in such a powerful and distinct way, expanding just their lives and their influence. And it was flooding their lives with power and love by the Spirit. Romans 5:5 says, God's love has been poured out into our hearts. How? Through the Holy Spirit. And this passionate prayer, this privilege of the child of God, is to fan the flame in your life and my life so it expands. That's the idea. And that's what I was thinking about here. So talk about expanding. Can you get any better words than this to kind of fill your mind and the hope of your heart? How I want you to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. That's called expansion, right? And to grasp is this word comprehend, or to receive as a gift, or to hold on as truth, knowing it to be so, and to experience it personally, as wide affects everything, as long it lasts forever, as high as the heavens, love is high, higher than, as deep as my deepest pain and sadness, expansion. That's what it's saying to lead up to verse 19. It says, purpose statement, you so that, all this is so that you will be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's the goal of this prayer. That's the goal of prayer. Transformational, connected, hopeful, more of Jesus through prayer. And I'm going to suggest to you, what he has done in my life was beyond my imagination. Really. I mean it. And so I see this. And it all comes to this point in verse 20. How does this all happen? According to his power that is at work within us. That's his work inside. And prayer. That's what the possibilities of prayer is. It cultivates it. It fills. It expands. Because prayer is connection to God. Now, I want to just show you the beauty of this. I don't know how this is going to go, but I do this quite often. So, Lord, you know this. I'm going to just pray this prayer. I'm going to pray for myself, and I'm not trying to be a show here. I just want to pray it. I don't know why. I might cry, but for this reason, I come to you, Father, with hope and passion. And my posture is still standing, but I'm kneeling in my heart because my identity is found in you. You're the one that gives purpose and meaning to my life. Thank you. And now I ask you, Lord, to expand what you can do in my life through your Spirit. I submit myself to you. I want that. That's my desire, that you would do your work within as Christ is in me. And Lord, I want to understand the wonder of your love, the depth of your love, the height of your love. So Lord, I just open myself to the truth that you love me. And there's nothing better than that, to be loved by the eternal God through Jesus. And Lord, may this continue to increase in my life, that you would fill me to the full. You have been the immeasurably more God in my life, and you have done more than I would have imagined, really. And that's not a typo. That's your gift. And so thank you for your work within. It's really what makes everything happen, you working on the inside. May you be glorified. May your church expand, and may people come to know you, and may I be one that you use so that others might see. Amen. See, that's my prayer from Ephesians 3, and that's really the beauty of God's word, is that it can be your prayer too. So there we go. I'm going to get a Kleenex. Be right back. I know something about Kleenex is when it turns yellow, it's toward the end. All right. Well, I'm not done, to no one's surprise. I have four yeses that I want us to leave this series on P-A-P-R-A-Y. I keep on doing that. And these four yeses, I think, will move us forward as individuals, more so than anything. But then it's people together too. Are you ready? Four yeses. Are you ready? Yes, that's the idea. See, that works pretty good. That's the first yes. Say yes. Okay. Number one, desire. Desire. You can write these down. We don't have the normal note outline and everything. So these, I think this will lead to transformation. I believe it. I really believe it. The posture of how you view prayer. Desire. Do you really want this? Do you really want this? Ask yourself, do you really want this? Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Filled. He's saying the one that's filled is the one that is hungry for it and thirsty for what God has to offer. Is this really your desire? Lots of people say to me things like, you know, I'm going to seek God first, and He's first in my life and everything. And then I'll ask them a little bit about prayer, and so prayer, a little emphasis in prayer. And I say, this is incongruous. No. Prayer and desire for God go hand in hand. Hand in hand. And so I was thinking of Jacob in the Old Testament. Remember Genesis 32. I already mentioned it. What happened in Genesis 32? Jacob wrestled with God. And you remember what he said to God? Do you remember? Here it is. I will not let go unless you bless me. Is that the kind of prayer that you have? Is that the kind of prayer I have? I'm not letting go, God. I'm hanging in here. I'm with you. You're with me. And I'm not letting go until you open the way for me. And Jacob was changed. He was changed. You see, prayer reveals desire. Don't kid yourself. It's true. It's the invitation for a close, real connection with God and a heart to know Him. I want to know Him. Boom. That's it. How's your desire? That's the key. Number two. Yes, number two. God's Word. God's Word. Again, people will say to me, Pastor, I'm going to read through the Bible this year. And I'll think, well, good, read through the Bible. But I have a better suggestion. Pray through the Bible. Pray through the Bible. That's the idea. With this powerful word, meditate. Meditate. Now we get kind of off on meditate because of various other religions, but meditate is in God's Word. It means to contemplate, reflect, think over, dwell on. It's not a fast process. And so in Psalm 1, it says, by the psalmist, he says, meditate on God's Word. The one who meditates on God's Word is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Psalm 1, verses 2 and 3. This is the promise of God for the person that meditates. Meditate is to take in. And so, first of all, the Word of God is indispensable for the person of prayer. The Word of God directs prayer. The Word of God reveals who He is. It connects us. Just as I prayed Ephesians 3, it was so rich. It was real. I felt so connected to what God is about rather than my agenda. So good. So important. Rick Warren, a famous pastor, said, no other habit can do more to transform your life and make you more like Jesus than daily reflections on God's Word, which is meditate. And I want you to do that. As you go to God's Word, I want you to have this sincere prayer. Really, speak to me, Lord. I'm willing to listen. And then begin to pray through the Bible. Number three, surrender. The third, yes, surrender. And this leads to what some consider the ultimate prayer. Not my will, but your will be done. Now, you know where we got that prayer, right? Right from Jesus. Jesus did that prayer. In the Garden of Gethsemane, He prayed that prayer. And really, I want to suggest to you that what I see happening in the Garden of Gethsemane is that Jesus is changed. You're going, no, that's what I see. We can have a debate about it, but it seems to me that was happening in the garden, that the profound connection with the Father God and prayer changed even Jesus. So with trust and surrender, we place our lives and our circumstances into God's hands. That's surrender. There's this famous author. He wrote over 50 books. He wrote a lot about prayer, and he made quite an impact. His name is Andrew Murray. And I've read some books by Andrew Murray over the years of my Christian life. And I respect the sincerity, the depth of what he writes. And I have a quote for you from Andrew Murray about this topic, of course. The Spirit teaches me to yield my will entirely to the will of the Father. He opens my ear to wait in great gentleness and teachableness of soul for what the Father has day by day to speak and to teach. He discovers to me how union with God's will is union with God Himself, how entire surrender is God's will is the Father's claim, the Son's example, and the true blessedness of the soul. I see the word yield in there, and there's the word surrender. And then the significance of God's will and the idea of transformation of my soul, the true blessedness of my soul. I see it all in there. And when I use a title called Yes, Lord, you know what I'm saying? I'm saying your will be done. This is it. This is the essence of really what I'm getting at, what I see. The significance of prayer is surrender. Prayer draws me to surrender. And it also draws me to the will of God, where in another favorite verse, in 1 John 5, 14 and 15, not on the screen, it says this: this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we pray, ask or pray anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we have everything that we've asked of him. You see, in line with his will, the significance, if I, by the help of God's Spirit, pray anything according to his will, it will be done. Is that exciting? That is amazingly exciting. And that's the possibilities of a surrendered prayer. You see, it really gets down to this, friends. We want what God wants more than we want what we want. We want what God wants more than we want what we want. And number four, the fourth yes, abide. Abide. And this word abide is in John 15, is most famously and strong there, and the vine and the branches. And I've connected to pray without ceasing, which is in 1 Thessalonians. Pray without ceasing. And this emphasis is just one that I had forgotten. I'd forgotten. I'm wanting to serve God in what I do and so on. But I just... And so this month focused on prayer has really helped me again, renewed this the gift and beauty of prayer and the continuous possibilities of prayer. So I'm driving around and I'm turning off the radio and the news, and I'm just in quiet and praying. And phew, it's better. I'm just telling you, it's better. It's better than sports radio. I'm telling you, it's better. And so the vine and the branches, Jesus the vine, and we are the branches of John 15. This idea, this abide is this word remain. And just think of this one verse about abiding and remaining. It says, Jesus said this. I didn't say this. Jesus said that if you remain in me and I remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. That's in the Bible. And that's the idea, this sense of connection and moment by moment possibilities. I have a quiz for you. Fill in the blank. Walking with my wife several times a week has strengthened our marriage, relationship, connection, right? Walking with God every day will strengthen our relationship, our connection. And so this is God ever sleeping? No. Is he always accessible? Yes. Can we enjoy this continuously more so? Yeah. That's the idea. Abiding. Thinking about it. I was always impressed with Nehemiah. And Nehemiah in chapter 2, he is wanting to go back to Jerusalem to help build the wall because it had been broken down. You know the story probably. And he is a prayerful guy, and he's going to ask the king for permission. And when he goes to the king, it says in Nehemiah 2:4, "For I was praying to the God of heaven, and I asked the king." So I was praying to the God of heaven and I asked the king. He is talking to God and talking to the king at the same time. Can you do that? Can I be talking to my wife and talking to God at the same time? Can I talk to you and talk to God at the same time? I can. Because it's spiritual. It's this connection. And so, Nehemiah, good for you. And Enoch walked with God, Genesis 5, and he was no more because God took him away. The yes, Lord, here is that I can walk closely with God moment by moment through prayer. Desire. God's word. Surrender. Abide. There's this another fella, Andrew Murray, did his writings in the 19th century, and there was a guy named Wilbert Chapman, J. Wilbert Chapman. He was an evangelist and minister, and he had a story I read, a story of 100 years ago, but it illustrated really how I want to close. It's this idea of I settle for so much less than God wants me to experience. Watch this. I got off at the Pennsylvania Depot as a tramp, and for a year I begged on the streets for a living. One day I touched a man on the shoulder and I said, "Hey, mister, can you give me a dime?" And as soon as I saw his face, I was shocked to see that it was my own father. I said, Father, do you know me?" Throwing his arms around me and with tears in his eyes, he said, "Oh, my son, at last I found you. You want a dime? Everything I have is yours. Think of it. I was a tramp. I stood begging my own father for 10 cents when for 18 years he had been looking for me to give me all that he had. Our God is a generous God, and I believe we're missing out on quite a bit of what he wants to share with us. And I think, personally, the key is our prayerlessness is the issue. And God has, well aware of the situation, God has been calling out to us in a very special and strong way for 3+ months. And his greatest desire is for us to connect with him. Greatest desire of the living God. And I want to be in step with that. So, tap the Father on the shoulder and look what he will do as you pray. Father in heaven, we are prone to want to control. We are prone to dictate the way we want our lives to be. But today, Lord, we say no to that and yes to you. Yes to your work in our lives. Yes to what you have in mind for us. Yes to your will, which is always best. Yes to wanting what you want more than we want. We say yes to that, Lord. That's our prayer. Bless this time of response. In Jesus' name.